Okay, my name is Brian Hornbuckle. I'm at Iowa State University in the Department of Agronomy, and I'm going to be talking about the impact of rapidly growing vegetation on Cosmos soil moisture measurements. Co-authors are Samantha Irvin, who's right here. She's a graduate student in environmental science at Iowa State, and then also Jason Patton, who is here. He's a graduate student in agricultural meteorology. Sometimes it's really dry here in Texas. Sometimes it's really wet. This is Iowa in 2008. And in both cases, we need to know about soil moisture because of soil moisture's relationship to precipitation, because of its influence on how water and energy move between the land surface and atmosphere. So there's been lots of efforts to measure soil moisture. Some of the more recent ones have to do with my original field of work, which is microwave remote sensing. So now we have one of the first, the first true soil moisture sensing satellite in space. It's called SMOS. That was launched by the European Space Agency in 2009. And NASA has plans to launch a similar mission here in late 2014. So if we're going to be able to predict these periods of extreme wetness and extreme dryness, we need to have measurements. Here's one from the satellite scale is one technique. Ground-based measurements are also going to be important, and the Cosmos network that Trenton talked about is a good example of another aspect of soil moisture that we could use. And Trenton reviewed how this works, but let me go over again so you have a good idea of what's going on here. So from what I understand, we have these cosmic rays that are raining down on us, and they scatter off the soil, and the more hydrogens that are in the soil, the less that gets scattered back. So it's a hydrogen measurement instrument, essentially. And of course, the major compound that has hydrogen in the soil is water, although there's also hydrogen in other parts of the soil. So that the scattering back of these cosmic rays are proportional to how much water is stored in the soil. So here's the model is being used right now to relate these cosmic ray counts that are counted by the sensor inside the box to volumetric soil moisture, and it depends on the ratio of these corrected counts over the maximum canning rate of dry soil. So the way I think about it is that when the soil is dry, you're going to get the most neutrons scattered back. And as the soil moisture increases, that count rate's going to go down. So this ratio here is going to get smaller and smaller. As it gets smaller, soil moisture goes up. So as count rate goes down, soil moisture goes up. A0, A1, A2 are constants that currently are understood to be independent of sight. And so Trenton mentioned this also, that to calibrate a Cosmos sensor, you only need to have one single measurement to find this N0. Or basically what a dry, perfectly dry soil would scatter back in terms of cosmic rays. This is the Cosmos sensor that was installed at a field that I managed just south of Iowa State. It was installed Labor Day weekend 2010, and you can see it was a soybean crop when it was installed. So what does the Cosmos sensor see? Trent talked about the footprint. The footprint's about 700 meters, something like that. So it's a new scale of soil moisture measurement. And the nice thing about the footprint is it doesn't change the soil moisture. On the other hand, the depth sensitivity does, like Trenton mentioned, that when we have wet soils, we're seeing around 10 to 12 centimeters. And when we have dry soils, it's more like 70 or centimeters or so. So that could be something that has to be taken into account when you interpret these measurements. Another question has to do with the effect of vegetation on the Cosmos sensor, because the vegetation is going to contain water too. And not only water, it also has other compounds in it that have hydrogen. So the question is a Cosmos sensor sensitive to vegetation water content? And our hypothesis to start out for this experiment was that yes, that water within the vegetation is something that would contribute to the overall hydrogen content of the footprint and would need to be taken into account. And so we conducted an experiment to find out or to test our hypothesis. And we did this at the Iowa Validation Site, which is, again, is a site that I manage. It's just south of the Iowa State University campus. It's about a kilometer by a kilometer field. So this Cosmos sensor, which was located right here in the middle of the field, it fits nicely inside. So again, the diameter of the Cosmos footprint is about 700 meters. Kilometer by kilometer, we're going to capture that very easily. This field is a corn soybean rotation, and in 2010, when the Cosmos sensor was installed, it was soybean. This past summer, 2011, it was a corn crop. And we have lots of measurements here at the site. We're measuring soil moisture at many different places in cooperation with Sally Logstent, the ARS lab in Ames. And then we also have a flux tower, and we also look at measuring precipitation at several points. But I'm not going to be using those measurements today. What I'm talking about is too recent to get into that. I'm going to go with the basic measurements or the calibration that is normally used for Cosmos sensors, which is taking soil cores and measuring gravimetric and volumetric soil moisture. So Trenton mentioned that to calibrate a Cosmos probe, you need to do it one time to find that N knot. And the recommended procedure is to do this at 18 points surrounding the Cosmos probe. And the points are scattered to reflect the relative weighting of the soil relative to its distance away from the Cosmos probe. So we had six samples on three different rings at 25 meters, 75 meters, and 225 meters. And so at each spot, we would take a soil core and measure down to 30 centimeters, cut the soil core up into 5-centimeter increments, and find its gravimetric and volumetric water content. We wanted to know about the effect of vegetation, and so we did this calibration procedure several times over the past growing season. Once when the soil was bare, once in June, another time in July, in August when we got to peak biomass of the corn crop, and then we've done one in September and plan to do one more in November after the crop has been harvested. So it was important to accurately characterize how much vegetation was there. And to do that, we use some allometric relationships to increase the number of vegetation samples to hopefully make our estimate of the amount of vegetation better. So what we would do is when we would go out to measure soil moisture at each of the 18 locations, we would measure stem diameter and canopy height of five representative plants. And then at the end of the day, we'd go to the edge of the field where it's easier to take destructive samples and take the data that, where we could develop an empirical relationship between stem diameter, canopy height, and the mass of individual plants. So we could apply that to the measurements we take in the field to get to increase the number of measurements of vegetation that we were making. And here's how the vegetation developed over the course of the summer. So we start out with bare soil here in May, and then you can see how the fresh mass, which I define as the total mass of the vegetation, which would include the dry matter and the water contained in the vegetation, increased and peaked out here in August, and then decreased when we measured again in September. Here's the water, what I call the water column density, or the mass of water per area within the vegetation that we find after drying the vegetation. And then the red line here would be the dry matter, which is what's left over. So red plus blue is going to equal green in this case. And the reason why I separated them out is because, as a microwave remote sensing scientist, we know that microwave remote sensing is sensitive to the water within vegetation. On the other hand, Cosmos is looking at hydrogens, and the dry matter is going to contain some hydrogen too. Okay, so here is a recorded precipitation at the site from June until late September. Actually, our precipitation measurements are probably starting around here in the middle to late part of June. And then here's Cosmos soil moisture, volumetric soil moisture. And this is using the calibration that was made the weekend that the Cosmos sensor was installed. And again, this was in early September 2010 when the crop was soybean. And you can see qualitatively that this Cosmos soil moisture is responding to these precipitation events. You can see definitely here. So things are looking good, and the range of soil moisture is pretty reasonable, although we have a spike here that I'm not sure what's going on. That's obviously way too high. Now, if you take the calibration data that we collected during the summer and create other calibrations for different times of the year, here's what you see. So the green line here is a calibration made when the soil was bare in May, no vegetation at all. And the magenta line is a calibration made in August when we had near the maximum amount of vegetation, where we got up to around 6.5 kilograms per square meter of vegetation. And the relative position of these lines makes sense. If we look in August here, the bare soil calibration is too high because it's not taking into account all the water that's in the vegetation there. And the August calibration is lower than the September calibration because there's more vegetation when that calibration was made. And you can see it better if we look again at that relationship between soil moisture and cosmic ray counts. Here's that relationship again, where soil moisture is a function of cosmic ray counts. As the counts go down, soil moisture goes up. And we have to calibrate for this N-naught, or N-naught you can think of again as the count rate of a perfectly dry soil. And so what I have here is how this N-naught, or this maximum counting rate of a dry soil, changed as the column density of vegetation changed, where the green marks here are the fresh column density, water plus dry matter, and the blue is just the water column density, kilograms of water per square meter in the vegetation. And you can see what happens. We start out with a high N-naught, and then it goes down as we grow more vegetation. The interesting thing here is that it backs up, but not along the same path between August and September as the vegetation starts to senesce. And then also on here I've highlighted the N-naught for the soybean calibration. We didn't measure the actual column density, but I'm estimating here, but they're not on the same line. Now, it's important to take into account here that when we did this calibration, we were averaging the soil moisture through 30 centimeters and not taking into account the soil moisture profile, which could be important to do. And then here's an illustration of the error that would be incurred if you used the wrong calibration. So here's what I would consider true soil moisture, or the soil moisture that would come from the appropriate calibration. And then on this y-axis here is the error that would be incurred if you used the original calibration. And the error is defined here as the original calibration, again made over soybean in 2010, minus the other calibrations. So in May, the original calibration is too dry, and in the other parts of the year, it would be too wet. So to conclude, it appears that vegetation, whether it's the water in the vegetation or the total mass of the vegetation, should be considered if to properly calibrate a cosmos sensor. If you've got rapidly growing vegetation, for example, in Iowa, we go from 0 to 6.5, 7 kilograms per square meter in a few months. The dependence of this N-naught on the amount of vegetation is nonlinear. It decreases a lot just when the vegetation starts to grow and then doesn't change very much. The soil moisture profile is likely important, like Trenton talked about, and again, we didn't take that into account in our work to this point. And if you think back to the graph with the N-naught change, it looks like vegetation type may also be important, how the water is distributed in the vegetation canopy, and maybe even the growth stage. The senescence part looked different. That may be something that needs to be taken into account too. And I'd like to thank the Cosmos team for putting a sensor at our site, and especially Chris Zweck and Rafael Rosolom, who've been both very extremely helpful in helping us interpret these measurements. Thanks.
Let's take time for one question.
That would be really cool. Trent also talked about how they're measuring two different types of neutrons, the fast and the epithermal, I think.
Thermal.
So I'm still confused about that. But these two different, there's a possibility that things like vegetation, maybe even also water on vegetation, like dew or intercept or precip, could be backed out of these measurements, which would be really neat.
All right, we'll move on. So thank you. Let's join in thanking Brian for his talk.